Praise the Lord.
If you want to read with us, I want to start out in the book of 1 Samuel. And I'd like to read in that book from the 30th chapter. And we'll start tonight at the beginning of that chapter. If you're there with me tonight, say amen. All right, we'll begin reading. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great nor small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, their daughters were all taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Father, I ask tonight that as each one has come to be in your midst, that you bless according to your anointing, God, and your glory. Lord, we just thank you tonight for all that we feel in our spirit. God, and I pray for each one that's here. God, I ask that you give them peace, Lord. God, that you give them wisdom and understanding. Lord, and let every shackle and bondage be broken in this place tonight. Lord, let every fear be removed and every love be opened up and revealed in us, God. And I pray right now against the plot of the enemy that would seek to destroy God's people. God, I pray by faith, believing that you are moving on our behalf. And I ask, God, that as we try to do our little part, that you would bless it, Lord. And let this word be multiplied into your people. For I'm only here to be your messenger, God. And I'm here to bless those whom you love. And I pray, God, that you will open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to your word. Bless this, God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said,
amen.
We know this story. We're familiar with as they return unto Ziklag and where they had taken settlement, where they had been, and how that David and his company of host enemies were present in this place, and how they left nothing behind but fire. And I know that through the years God has used this scripture in many ways in my life. There's been times where I found myself coming into a situation like they did, where they walked into the town and had not realized that the things they cared about were gone. And I've been there where there have been others around me that were weeping beyond the point where they could not grieve any more than they have. And I've been next to people side by side with them and seen them being grief-stricken depression. And God's brought me to these various points in this. He's used this many ways in my life. But I want to bring this out in the understanding that he's revealed to me. Now we know that encouragement comes easy if we'll use it. But the battle isn't whether we will encourage ourselves or not. I found that the battle is if we'll be willing to give up discouragement. It's real easy to have somebody compliment us, and it makes us feel good in the very moment that we receive it. But do we receive that compliment all the day long? If everybody looked at me tonight and told me that I was beautiful or handsome or talented or great or amazing, in the moment that I receive it, it's really easy to hold on to encouragement. But when the sun sets and tomorrow comes and other things happen in my life, it's hard for me to look back at encouragement, to let go of discouragement. I want to tell you that your battle's not in trying to make yourself feel better only. Your battle in your life today is learning how to let go of discouragement. You see, the devil comes to plague your mind tonight. He comes to discourage your heart tonight. He comes to destroy your calling tonight. He's come to keep people from being in the house of God tonight. He's come to distract us from coming together under the banner of the blood to celebrate him tonight. Well, don't you know that many of us have the ability to stand and praise the Lord, but we're discouraged about something that's going on outside these doors, but we're anointed enough to be able to do it. Do you wonder tonight if we've spent too much time trying to stay encouraged when God's trying to teach us how to get rid of discouragement? I'm here to tell you tonight, I can tell you how special you are, how anointed you are, how called you are. But until you're willing to let go of what holds you down in the middle of the night, knowing how good that you are will never change who you are. God wants to change who you are by getting rid of what makes you less of yourself. David was grieved and had no comfort to pull him out. My Lord, is there anybody in the house of God that's been there before? Hallelujah. I've been in the low places. I've lost loved ones. I've heard bad reports. I've lost income when I counted on it. I've lost vehicles when I really needed them to work. I've had my bills come and mess with me when I thought I'd already paid them. I've had debts that I didn't know if I could take care of that were troubling my spirit. Is there anybody out there that's got a real world problem today? Do you have real world drama today? Do you have real world enemies? I'm here to tell you, we all look pretty tonight. We all can praise him tonight. But I'm here to tell you, whether you want to tell me, whether you want to admit it, we've all got things we've got to deal with outside of you. So I want to talk for a moment about the power of encouragement. They returned to Ziklag on the third day and saw nothing but destruction, fire, and all hope of their loved ones removed. And yet, in the midst of pure distress, in the midst of hopelessness, in the midst of grief and frustration, there was something still yet inside of the man of God that could reach down in the depths of his soul, and in spite of everything that had happened, he was still able to yet endure. And I take myself now to after Jesus had given up the ghost, and I find myself thinking about the tomb where they had already given him up and already began to lose hope, and it encourages me that on the third day then, when all hope had been lost, that a great resurrection came, that we would have hope restored to us when sin had burned up all that you were. are. Aren't you glad that salvation came out of resurrection, that you can find hope again? Hallelujah, that's something to shout about. I don't care how many years we've been in church together, that's something to shout about. I don't care how used to me you are, that's something to shout about. Take me out of the equation. Take this night out of the equation. Look back at your sick flag and be glad that when you had nothing, deep down inside, God found something in you. What are you telling me, brother? That deep down in your discouragement, deep down in how you feel negative about your situation, no matter how much the devil will try and destroy, there's still hope. Look over at your neighbor and tell him tonight, there's still hope. Nobody else may believe and be faithful with you, but there's still hope. They may have been out of church for 20 years, but there's still hope. It may look like they've lost everything and can never get back to who they were, but there is still hope. You may have lost everything that you have in possessions in this life, but there is still hope for your life. I, as a minister, must admit that I spent a great lot of my calling when I first started in exhortation. It's far easier to encourage someone else than it is to encourage yourself. Amen, Brother Jared. Preach on that for a minute. It's real easy to paint the picture for someone of how they can fix all of this if they just pray. If they just give their heart to the Lord, how easy it is for us to see when we encourage others. But when it comes to applying what we preach, oh hallelujah, when it comes to holding the standard against our own life, we find that much harder to do, do we not? I'm here to tell you, in spite of how easy it feels when you tell somebody else, it can be just as easy for yourself if you'll receive it the right way.
Yeah. Amen.
But we cannot receive encouragement when we are dwelling in discouragement. Can I teach on this for a minute? If light and darkness cannot fellowship together, then encouragement and discouragement cannot live in the same house. They cannot. We cannot say that we believe and walk in unbelief and be fruitful in the realm of God. You cannot. Look over at somebody and say, you cannot be fruitful unless you believe. We cannot be anointed if we let sin drive our life. The anointing of God's Spirit cannot dwell in a temple full of sin. It cannot. It cannot. There's a whole lot of people that aren't here because you didn't encourage them. They're not here because you didn't love on them enough. I'm here to tell you, you can give people the world, but if they won't change who they are, then you can give them everything and they'll still be the same thing. There's got to come a point, church, where we begin to see the truth for what it is. That until we ever learn to let go of discouragement, we'll never stand as an encouraged people. You know what I feel like I preach to a lot of times? I feel like I preach to people that have played all four quarters of the game and are in overtime and have got no juice left, but are still trying to play, but have no sense of victory inside of their heart. It's time that we get our victory back. It's time that we claim what belongs to us. We've got the wind knocked out of us because we're discouraged about what we feel. We're discouraged about what we see. We're discouraged about what we hear. We see people not coming to church, and it makes us discouraged, right?
Yeah.
We see people less and less ever repenting of their troubles, and it makes us feel discouraged to come and repent, right? We see less and less people coming to sing and opening up their heart to God, so it makes us feel discouraged to sing and be open in our worship. We see less and less of people standing, lifting up their hands, praising God, unafraid, so we're discouraged to do what is right. I'm here to tell you, if you want the right things, you've got to do what's right, and if you're always discouraged, you'll never do it. I'm just trying to get plain and simple with this. Before David could receive encouragement, he had to get rid of discouragement. And it's a process. And you can't just beat out discouragement with encouragement. You can't. You can tell people that deal with being anorexic, that have image disorders, you can tell them every day they're beautiful. But until something changes in how they see themselves,
Amen.
It will not change who they are. Now let me talk about drug addiction, because that's something that speaks close to home to me. I had all kinds of people that told me, well, if you go here and do this program, you'll be free. Or if you'll just come to church, you'll change your life. And when I was in the middle of my problem, I heard a lot of encouragement. I really did. I'm not saying there was a shortage of that. But in the perception of myself, I could not see myself free.
Yeah.
I could not see myself out of it. Because all I felt was all the days that I had been in it. All the days that I had felt so low, so not worthy to live, so not worthy to have people that love me. And out of that, I'm telling you, when people get stuck in something, they'll just exist in that problem until they're gone.
Yeah.
Now, how do we fix that? Have you thought about that? How do we get people to understand that they can live better? How can we get people to look within themselves and see that they can be what we encourage them to be? To reveal the truth in others is to shine the truth to them. And until I can shine that I lay off what depresses me, until I can lay off what makes me angry, until I can lay off what discourages me in my life, I'll never shine to anyone that they can be any different. Now you can tell me how righteous you are, and I'll take your word for it. But there is a God that sees exactly how you shine. Sometimes it's not just in your words that make the difference. It's your behavior. It's what you say to the people that don't understand they can be different, that teaches them whether they continue the way they are or whether they open their mind for change. Now, I'll tell you this. The Holy Spirit is the only thing that can assist in helping people rid their discouragement. Amen. When Saul needed soothed in his anger, did he not summon David to come that he would be at peace? So was it the music that soothed him? Or was it what the music brought in the midst of Saul that soothed him? What are you getting at, brother? We come in here time and time again, and we lose our sense of purpose to achieve perfect unity in God's presence.
Amen.
And without unity, there can be no fullness of glory. And without God's glory in the midst, there'll be no separation from discouragement.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed when the presence of God gets around you, upon you, that your body starts to feel better? Can anybody testify to that? You ever notice when you get in the midst of people that are loving God, praising God, your mood changes? And if you've not been to church in a while and you begin to feel His presence, that conviction feels so easy to feel. You just can't help but cry because you want that thing which you feel like you've lost. We've all felt those things before. But I'm here to tell you, it's not just some every now and again thing that we can choose to operate in when we want to feel good. If you're going to live your life in a stable way, you've got to learn to cast off discouragement every day that you live. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Amen on me, or go home, whatever you want tonight. Yeah. You don't want to talk about how discouraged you are, that's fine. But I'm going to talk about how discouraged you are, if that's okay. I see the looks on our faces like we have lost everything in the world and have nothing to stand for. But if we serve a God that saved us when we were lost, if we serve a God that's given us a heaven when we lay this body down, if we serve a God that if we speak the name of Jesus, that the devil will flee, if we serve a God that will give every provision, every request, if we only believe, then how can we sit down and hold on to discouragement when all that we've got to do is lay off and be separated from what would keep us held down? My God, if we lay off all of the sadness, we might just remember what it feels like to be happy again. My Lord, if we lay down all of our anger, we'd learn what it is to forgive again. Exhortation is only effective if you receive it without discouragement. For a long time, I'm going to be honest with you. Can I talk real talk for a minute? There was a few years of my life when I was first starting out, I was so looking forward to hearing what that preacher had to say. And I took every word of it and I put it in my heart. And even though I struggled starting out, I was still zealous. And I'd say to myself, well, I'm going to get it back together next time. And I'll come in stronger next time. But I discovered that the more that I wanted to get close to God, the more that I began to feel the press of the enemy. There is a direct correlation to how much you desire to be with God and how much you'll feel the pressure of the devil. The less you desire of God, you would think the less the enemy lets off of you, but that's not true. Once the devil gets you out of the pew, gets you sitting in your bed, laying there feeling sorry for yourself, you'll begin to only see your way out that leads to hell. Do you understand me? When people get depressed and they desire suicide, do you not see that that's the devil working in his cunning, leading them in the wrong direction? Do you not know that when people are wanting to find comfort in drugs, that is the enemy leading them in the wrong direction? Drugs are just a false sense of encouragement, my friend. Alcohol is only a false sense of encouragement, my friend. Homosexuality is only a false sense of encouragement, my friend. I'm here to tell you that sin is a false sense of comfort. But when Christ came, He said, though I go away, I'm going to send you another comforter, that all that you'd be able to overcome everything that you face. A teacher. That was what that spirit was. Woo! Hallelujah. It's my teacher. It teaches me how to do better. I'm not going to live the rest of my life on what I only know today. I can't be that stubborn to tomorrow, because I know new things are going to come. Another level, another devil. You better believe that just because you come to church, that that's not got you on the do not attack me list on Satan's. The devil is roaming. I think if we could see him, we'd get more serious about serving God. And if you just saw how close he wanted to be in your life, you'd do all you knew to get rid of every form of the enemy. that tries to attack you. So it doesn't talk about it here. Let's go to verse 6. David was greatly distressed. The people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But that's what I'm trying to dig in. Just make way for me. Make room for me in here tonight. That's who I'm talking to. Just scoot that stuff over. I don't need to know about your problems. I don't need to know to make, give my advice. Just move it out of the way so I can reach down into that part of you that I know that's in there. You can encourage yourself if you will get rid of what discourages you. I've had people tell me, nutritionists tell me, that the best way to improve your figure is not to just think yourself small, but to separate yourself from what makes you big. So what makes me big, right? It's lack of exercise, right? Lack of diet, right? So the presence, being in the presence of the things that make me what I don't want to be, affects me far more than I think it does, even when I'm not doing anything. You know what we're getting at right now?
Yeah.
If you want to be anointed, but you're sitting in disobedience, hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you want to be powerful in the realm of God but will not pray, somebody help me tonight. We want to be powerful in the eyes of God but won't let go of our feelings. How can we stand and say, get thee hence, Satan, when he's no further from us than inside of our thoughts, inside of our heart, and inside of our life? We can't say, get thee hence, devil, out of somebody else until we learn to run him off in here. That's good stuff. I don't care who you are. Spend so much time telling other people how to fix their lives, we don't take enough time to fix what's going on inside of us. Brother, you're one to talk, being since you're a preacher. Well, you must have misunderstood the role of a minister. I can't change your behavior. There is not an anointed enough song to change your behavior. It'll make you feel better. And in that moment, you'll feel like you're strong enough to do it. But then when the song is over, the lights are turned off, the doors are locked, and everybody's home, what are you left with? What remained in you? I say this as I come to a close. It's what you sit in the midst of. It's what you think of the most that defines what you do, what you say, and how you shine. If only the world could once again see how much that we love God. If only. If only, Doris, our conversation would lift up the name of Jesus everywhere that we go.
Amen.
If only when we are faced with trouble, that what we do would shine what others could do if they believed it. Brother, you're talking big talk tonight. Let me tell you. I know that I'm going to face things that I'll have no solution for. I know I will. And if life goes on, Brother Joe, I know there'll be things bigger than me. And there'll be times I won't have an answer. There'll be times in church I won't know what to do. There'll be times I'll get down to pray and have nothing left to say. There'll be times I'll feel so heavy and feel like I have nowhere to take it. My friend, I'm here for you tonight. Oh, I'm here to tell you tonight that there is something deep down inside of you that is living and breathing life into you. But you've got to get rid of all the things that are trying to choke out that part of you in order to grow that part of you up to be a mature Christian. I've never seen the likes of the world that I see today. They claim they know God, but they take His name in vain. They say they love everybody, but only love their self. We say, can I put us in under the same bus tire and throw us all under the bus right now? We say we want the world converted, but we yet do not reach for them like we would for ourselves. Oh, brother, I got a feeling before I can move. Did you feel Him when somebody came to you? Did you always feel it, even when God was intervening in your life? I tell you, when it first started happening for me, I didn't realize it. It took me a few times to understand what was happening. But the persistence of love is what teaches people and shows them who God truly is. I hope you remember this tonight. If you forget everything else I've said, you write this down, you put it in your heart. Before I can encourage myself, I've got to get rid of discouragement. Before I can encourage others, I must learn to encourage myself. That's important. That's important. You can make a difference with one person. One person. There are people where I work that can't hardly understand why I do what I do to help them. There are family members that I don't have to do what I do for them, but I do it anyway. Yeah. But let me tell you something tonight. There's things that need to happen inside of this guy that unless I do it for myself, everything else, every bit of good that you could ever do, won't profit you. What profited you to gain this world and to lose your soul? What good does it do for us to keep going after a world that only comes to consume who you are? I tell you this much, my future's no longer pointed at my 401k. My future's not hinging on what car I drive. My future's not defined by where I live, by education. It's good to have that stuff, don't get me wrong. But it's no longer defined there. In the midst of my confusion, potential depression, anger, frustration, unforgiveness, it lives in all of us. But we've got to learn that deep down in each and every one of us is the power that brought Christ out of the tomb. Yeah. And it's the power that'll bring that part of you to life that you thought you lost. To be lost only means you've lost your direction. Just don't know where you're going. We don't have to live this world lost. We don't have to live our life in continual discouragement. Well, let me just break it down for you real plain. If we think that it's bad now, wait until you live in the world where nobody cares anymore. You think it's bad, but you wait until people will execute violence without fear. There's a great and evil day that's not coming It's upon us.
Yeah, right.
And it will not be an easy fight to have good attendance in church. It's not going to be an easy fight to keep your praise team. It's not going to be an easy fight to keep deacons, deaconesses, prophets, prophetesses. It's not going to be easy. You know why? Discouragement. It's everywhere. It's a silent killer of the Christian. Doris said, don't take pills to destroy people. It just takes discouragement. Can I get you to recite that with me tonight before we close? Before I can encourage myself, I've got to get rid of discouragement. Now let's just pray. Is that all right, Doris? We just pray. Father, as you have given utterance tonight, Lord, by this message, you're identifying in us that there is a great power and strength and hope that we still yet have in us. That resurrection, coming back to life power is there, God. But Lord, we cannot realize our potential until we learn to let go of the things that try to bring us down. For Lord, sometimes we feel beat down. Sometimes we feel used. God, sometimes we feel like the whole world is against us. But Lord, we know these things are of the enemy. For the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, God. We know this. But God, in order for us to grow, in order for us to shine, there are some things that are bringing us down that we need to bring down into your hands. God, we need to put our depression underneath our feet. God, we need to trust in you again for the things, Lord, that we feel like are bigger than we are. And God, we lay those in your hands tonight. God, we bind by faith together that you see our troubles, you see our griefs, you see our loss, you see the things we're going through tonight. And God, for those, Lord, that have received this word, Lord, God, I pray that you remind them every day to get rid of the discouragement and receive your encouragement, to lay off what brings them down so that you can lift them up, that we would decrease so that you would increase. Father, we praise you tonight for your word. God, we thank you for showing us in this story that when David believed and encouraged himself, that he went and took back all that the devil had tried to steal. God, and I pray for each one tonight that you help us realize that as we'll lay off discouragement and take on encouragement, that by that you empower us to destroy the works of the enemy. God, just remind us every day. That's my prayer tonight, Lord. Not for them to remember who preached it, not to remember the night it was preached, but God, to put it in their hearts to remember. Let us lay off discouragement that we can be encouraged. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen.